New message.
What up, what up? It's Heather's cousin. You dated her in college, or maybe you were just in the same class. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat, my man. Let's hit the water. Oh, and Heather told me you always liked, snacks and stuff, so I could totally bring some chips.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them, and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Hey, also, I'm a little short on cash, so can you cover the chips? Thanks. I can see why Heather liked you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of September, Monday, 2022. And tonight we have with us, because it's Monday night, we always have Way Out Yonder. But before we go there, remember who we have tonight on the board, none other than Courageous.
Good evening, everybody. Let's hope we have a good week.
Let's do it. Let's get it done. And tonight we have Way Out Yonder. We have none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
Yes, sir, that God-fearing, Bible-believing child of the kingdom. Back with you, boss.
Yep. One of these days you'll just say, this old hillbilly, but that ain't today, is it?
Well,
all right.
I'm not gonna go with the old. I may be a hillbilly, but I'm not going to go with the old yet.
Yeah, we won't do that yet. Okay.
Because then you'll start about my old mule, and, you know, it's going to go downhill fast.
Yeah, we'll leave it go. You know, not everyone can own a mule, but, you know, you're from Missouri. Right.
Well, and the stubbornness one, so let's leave it at that.
All right, there you go. Anyhow, the title of the message was God's Righteous Vengeance. Joe, this is a message, Joe, that you will hardly ever hear preached today.
I have never heard it preached.
Well, there's a couple people that I've heard preach this. Going back, John Weaver was one of them. Pastor John,
than I am.
Alrighty. And, of course, well, the preachers of old, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one to preach it first. But anyhow, that's what the title of the message is, because the Word of God really has a lot to say about God's righteous vengeance. And so I haven't preached too often on this over the years, over 50 years, maybe two or three times myself. But let's get after it tonight. Let's pick it up, the title of it. And as we go through here, I just want to probably mention this week several times. Just what if the pastors of today had the courage to do like Jesus and like John the Baptist, like Paul and Peter and the others, and call out the wicked people by name. Call them out by name. And remember how John the Baptist called out Herod. He said, Herod, you've taken your brother's wife. The Apostle Paul called out several people. I mean, he called out a number, especially those that were into the occult and with soothsayers. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus did it more than anybody.
Right.
And so
he called some names too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And so, anyhow, just think of the pastors today. Just imagine this. Franklin Graham calling out Joe Biden. Now, we've called him out many times. But can you imagine Franklin Graham calling out Joe Biden? Joe Biden. Abortion is murder, Joe Biden. Pedophilia, Joe Biden, is a horrible sin. Sodomy, Joe Biden, is an abominable thing. Could you imagine if Franklin Graham was calling out Joe Biden that way?
There'd be some shocked people around the world.
Yeah, well.
But maybe some would wake up.
Yep. Well, you know, we're to be salt and light. That's what we're here to do. And so we're going to do it.
Rub salt in the wound, it's going to burn, isn't it?
Yep. And so remember Joe Biden, what he referred to us as fascists.
Yeah.
Fascists, okay.
Fascists and a few other things.
And so I remember what he said about preaching the gospel the old-fashioned way. In other words, preaching against sin. If you preach against the sin of abortion, the sin of sodomy, and all a pedophilia, that will be considered a hate crime. Well, so far, I know that they've used the lesser people, you know, in the FBI, you know, the Dirty 30, not those that were decent enough, the decent people that are still there. There's a handful of them still there in the FBI that have not gone a-whoring, have not sold themselves out like cheap whores. But those others, those that, you know, where you take 30 of them and they raid somebody's house in the middle of the night, the cowboys.
It wasn't 30, it was only 20. 15 or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. And those guys, they're punks. They're punks. That's what they are. And but I know that John McTurnan thinks that they've all gone bad, but there are still a few out there. Every now and then you're watching some of those with some decency and integrity will come out and they'll, in fact, we'll play a clip tonight about one, but they'll stand up. The fellow that came out, the friend is his last name, who has honor and
spoke out loud and clear, didn't he?
Praise the good Lord for people like that. And you guys in the FBI, is this what you signed up for? Did you sign up for to be whores? And that's what the Word of God calls you, those that have sold yourself out for money or even for the excitement of being a bully and going against and doing what was wrong. Believe me, what did you sign yourself up for? Think about this. When you get older, let me ask you this. Are you proud to look your children in the eye and tell them what you do? If you don't want to look your children in the eye and tell them what you've done, you've been a part of that. And I'm talking about dirty cops like Merrick Garland, and I'm talking about dirty cops like Chris Wray. Do you want your children to know you're like that? Or do you want your children to know you're like FBI agent friend who had the integrity to stand up and be a man? The Bible says, gird your loins and play the man. And so men have honor, men have integrity. And so you have to ask yourself that question. Do you want to be one of the cowboy bullies? And, you know, I shouldn't even use the term cowboy because that gives cowboys a bad name.
Yeah, but that kind of does. There's some awful good cowboys out where I am.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what's used by, actually within the agency, by rogue cops. They call them cowboys, but anyhow, I know that Ted Gunderson called them rogue cops, and he called them some other things I can't mention on the air because he was not happy with them.
No.
And he was an FBI agent of integrity, a man who was a man who stood for righteousness and decency. But anyhow, let's get into the message. Let's start. Read in Luke chapter 18. Read me verses 1 through 8.
All right. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry every day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Well, Joe, the purpose of this message is tonight is to scare the hell out of all of those fools that have said there is no God, and to scare them along with the lukewarm professing Christians, to scare them out of hell, to keep them out of hell.
Right, keep them out.
And the time that it takes to preach this message, a great many people will have left this life and moved on, some to eternal glory with God and his holy angels and with his saints, and well, the others into eternal torment. Now that, Joe, is a reality. And as we go here in verse 1, and Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, to this end, men ought to always pray and to faint not. He wasn't saying that we ought to keep praying long and endless repetitious prayers, okay?
No, no.
He's saying that we are to keep praying until we get an answer. It's what he's telling you here, that we're to keep praying.
Keep praying.
Right. And so,
and in the scripture, it also says we're to pray continually. Well, you can say something when you get done on a trip. Thank you, Lord, for a safe trip, getting me home. That's a short prayer. It doesn't mean you have to pray this long prayer, but, you know, you say a grace, a blessing over your meal. You thank him for getting you somewhere, keeping your wife safe when she comes in from a day of traveling with her friends or something. Those are things you can do all during the day. And continually remind him, Lord, I need you to guide, direct me. That's a prayer I pray often. Guide, direct me, Lord. You know, let me follow you, your will. And you can pray that continually, right?
Right. And so, is it a good idea to be the first thing you do in the morning when you get up is to before you even get out of bed, is to thank God for another day in my service and to refer to him as Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, and then the last thing you do at nighttime, the reason we the last thing we put on this program is we give an invitation. We want the people to remember the last thing we said was, look, you know, it could be tonight. Tonight, yeah. Your soul may be required of you this very night. Are you ready? Okay, so anyhow, he goes on here, and
that's when, eight. When he says, and not to faint, he means don't lose heart, don't lose your faith.
When he's talking about here, this wicked judge, and he said, and there was a city, a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came into him saying, avenge me of my adversary. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that would apply today and with most of the judges in this country today?
There is so much illegal activity going on, so much thing. Just look at what the government's breaking the Constitution. They break the law. And just about daily, you and I talk about something on the radio that's where they're just ignoring the law, the Constitution, and get away with it.
Let me ask you this. Would we ever have had Roe v. Wade if it were not for wicked judges that didn't believe in God?
No, that would have never come up.
Would we ever have what they call same-sex marriage if it were not for wicked judges that didn't believe in God?
We would not have had that. We might have had a civil union. They could have some of the benefits they wanted, but not God's holy matrimony. Never.
Okay. So we see the application today greater than ever. Now, here, he says, and there was a widow. There was a widow. Now, it's interesting because widows and orphans, Joe, were among the most vulnerable of all of God's people. And if we go all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament.
Not much has changed. Widows and orphans still are very vulnerable today.
Yeah, and if we go all through the Old and the New Testament, we see the Old Testament prophets and the apostles, they insisted that they be properly cared for. I mean, I could give you verse after verse, going back in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 22, and also Isaiah chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 5 and James 1:27, if I remember. But all of those refer to taking care of the widow. Now, and the orphans, okay, so the fatherless here. So now, so why did he did that? I mean, you had, even if he didn't believe in God, would he believe that he needed to be respected by the people?
No, he wasn't even too concerned with that.
Well,
he didn't regard men. That would mean to me he didn't regard men's opinion. He had power and authority, and he wielded it.
Yeah, but you see, the fact that she was a widow, that came to him, and
he would make himself look good by handling her case.
Or not make himself look bad by not handling her. Okay, so here, and so he says now, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet this widow troubled me, I will avenge her lest continue coming she weary me. Now, the opposition, our opposition, the Antichrist people know that. They work on that. They beat them down. They continuously, like the Sodomite community, went after the American psychiatric industry. They went after them. They intimidated them. They continuously went after them. In fact, there was a saying. You had a saying by a poet or somebody who talked about, remember, if you facts and the law. Do you remember what that was?
Sure. Carl Sandburg.
Yeah.
If the facts are against you, argue the law. If the law is against you, argue the facts. And if the law and the facts are both against you, you pound the table and yell like hell.
That's exactly what the left does. They have both the law and the facts against them. Now, here.
And so they do a lot of yelling, threatening, anger. That's why you always see them angry, right? They use emotions and fear because they have no logic or truth.
So now here's what he says. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though they bear long with him. Now here he's telling you to listen to what the unjust God said. Should we not, we're to be salt and light, Joe, should we not trouble the wicked? Should we not trouble the wicked like this widow woman did? She continually troubled. So shall we not continually trouble? Can we not continually tell Joe Biden, you need to repent or you're going to perish? Joe Biden, you need to repent. You're a very sinful man, Joe Biden. Should we not tell those out there that God's word, the Bible says very clearly, without stuttering, it would be a sin. It's a sin to vote for a man like Joe Biden. It's a sin, okay, to vote for people like Nancy Pelosi or Chuckie Schumer. God has said it's a sin, right? Should we not continually tell these people?
Well, you got the same hand. You have that implied consent. If you don't vote against him, if you say nothing, you are giving your implied consent that they are doing what you want. They are doing something right. So silence gives an implied consent. And you're saying this evil that's going on is all right with me when you're silent.
Okay, so when the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to reprove, to rebuke, With all long-suffering.
Long-suffering, okay. Right. That goes right along with this.
So was did he mean it, or was he just stuttering? I mean...
No, he didn't stutter. That was where do you find that? That was in what?
2 Timothy chapter 4.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And so is this a suggestion or is this a commandment? Are we not to be salt and light? Are we not to be aggressive and very, very Christian militant? Are we not to be Christian militant?
The church militant. We're supposed to be out there when God says reprove. That is a correction. Rebuke is when they won't listen to the reproof. The rebuke is a much stronger word, meaning no, you know, you shall not, cannot, must not go there, do that. And the church has become milquetoast, afraid to stand up and preach the gospel with authority. We have kingdom authority, but most people are afraid to use it.
And so here, again, we are to, again, we're to trouble the wicked. Continuously. Now, here, again, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find any faith on the earth? Okay. So now, that's a question that the Lord Jesus is asking to everyone who's listening out there tonight.
Right. If you have faith, you what? Show it by your works. And if you're not willing to, run to the battle, fight the fight, reprove, rebuke, testify, witness, all those things that God has asked you to do, then you're not showing much of your faith by your works.
Right. And so, should we be
Everybody
more...
wants to think of that. We want to, you know, take care of the widows and orphans, you know, feed the hungry, take care of the sick. But all those other things he said, those get out there and fight the Antichrist system, those are the things people are afraid to do and willing to do.
Well, first of all, should the pastors be more concerned about offending God than they are about offending the media and the offering plate?
Yeah. I would be far more worried about offending God.
And so when he
has my life in his hand, the media and the collection plate don't have my life in their hand, my eternal life.
So I've heard preachers say that they don't believe that a preacher should call out these people. So does that mean that what Jesus did was wrong and what John the Baptist did was wrong and the Apostle Paul did was wrong?
I don't think Jesus did anything wrong. The Father said he was perfect.
All right. When Samuel went and called out Saul and Nathan called out David, were they wrong?
No. They were doing what God had told them to do.
Okay, so if we look and we see what they're doing and what we just read here, is not the message that we are to call out the wicked by name, to call them out by name?
Yes.
All righty. So, anyhow, we're going to stop right here, and we got a little bit of a clip that we're going to play. It's about a 2-minute clip. And Solomon here, not the same one in the Bible, there's a different one, he's going to be calling them out by name. So, go ahead whenever you're ready and play that clip. John Solomon, that's who it is.
Last week, we now have a copy of his whistleblower complaint to the Office of Special Counsel, the Whistleblower Protection Office here in Washington. And it alleges that he is aware of activities by the FBI that violate the Sixth and Eighth Amendment rights of many of the January 6th defendants. And one of the things he raises grave concerns about, he's a member of a SWAT team, is that the FBI has been rolling out SWAT teams as a shock and awe psychological pressure tactic to arrest people on misdemeanor crimes, which he says is one of several things that violate the FBI's manual, the Bible that FBI agents use to govern their conduct. When he tried to bring this forward, he suddenly got suspended. When he started to raise questions, he started to get suspended. And during one of the conversations with his leadership before he got suspended, they said, well, you don't care about any of the five cops that were killed on January 6th. And he said, There were no cops killed on January 6th, which, by the way, is true, right? No one was actually killed in the action on January 6th. People died afterward from other ailments. But this battle between this frontline agent, Stephen Friend, in Florida, and the leadership of the FBI, really significant. It's going to tumble into Congress, could tumble into the courts in the next couple of days. An FBI agent wants to do his job the right way, saying there are many Americans whose rights are being trampled by the FBI right now as we speak.
John, how do people get to Just the News and the show on Real America's Voice?
Yeah, absolutely. JustTheNews.com is the URL, and the show is at 6 o'clock every night. I follow you right after 6 o'clock. Just the News, Not Noise, with my good friend Amanda Head, every night, Monday through Friday.
Cut it right there. Okay. All right, we are back, and there you go. This is, again, another message. Do we need to continue to give the message to the FBI that they should man up and be like this Stephen Friend? There's a big difference between him and those little boys who put on their toys, all their little toys, and go break down people's doors, and they go in with 30 of them at a time in the middle of the night. You don't have much. I mean, that's not the kind of person I would, if my son was that way, I would not be very proud of him. If my son did that, I would let him know, Junior, grow up. What do you think, John? Joe?
Exactly. Well, you talked about, I think, last week where they sent a large SWAT team to that Catholic pro-life speaker, that Mark Houck, and they busted in and, with all their vehicles early in the morning with their rifles and started yelling and pounding on the door and scared his wife and children to death. Yet at the same time, we've got the, there were all those attacks. There were at least 17 big attacks on pro-life organizations.
Yeah, they call that Jane's revenge attacks on clean people, on decent people, on pro-lifers, okay?
Right. This is a pro-abort organization. It's a very left-wing, and they have claimed, themselves responsibility for 18 arson and vandalism attacks on crisis pregnancy centers and other faith-based organizations. And yet, the FBI is running around, taking 20 to 30 agents to bust a pro-life advocate and his family, a bunch of seven kids in the house, real dangerous, all those little children, are very scary, the FBI agents. And yet they haven't been able to get any arrests on all of these attacks on the crisis pregnancy centers and the churches, and they don't have the time. They're too busy going after misdemeanor cases. So I'm trying to make fun. And if you had any self-respect, you would want to be going out there looking at who tried to firebomb a building, who, did something that caused damage, could have killed people, not busting a man that because he's pro-life and anti-abortion. I mean, shame is not even the word that comes to my mind, but the other one I can't use on radio.
Well, first of all, John McTernan asked me Friday night about Mark Houck. Now I remember, I had met him once before, and when that happened, about a year or something ago when they attacked him, I believe we had him on the program. And we talked about that when this incident took place, when they were going after him because he was protecting his son out there at the bloody abortion mill.
They got up in his son's face and were threatening, spitting in this kid's face. They were threatening his child. He told them, leave the children alone, stay away. And he told them repeatedly, and he didn't, your dad's a fag, and they're screaming things that were too vulgar. The reporters wouldn't write it down. The people were there because it was so gross what he said. Your dad was a blank blank. I can't even say it. So anyway, there was a case that tried to sue Mark, and it went nowhere. It was thrown out. The case was thrown out of court because all he did was push this man away from his son and these horrible, filthy things he was telling the boy.
And he pushed him away, and the courts went, no, that's, he had every right to do that as a father. And, but, of course, our wonderful Justice Department said, oh, that was assault, and this man's dangerous, and they have to send a SWAT team to arrest a father that protects his 12-year-old boy. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. That they used the face. I know they did that against Alan Smith. They never tried to face me, but they did try to RICO me three times. Three times they.
Yeah, that's right. And, they came after you for that.
And these people out there, these pro-deathers, okay, these are unclean. Most of them were women. I would probably say 80% of them. And these were about as unclean women as you could get. Many times they would come out when we would have an Operation Rescues. They'd come out and they'd go topless. They would try to push up against you, so when you would push them away, you know, then they would scream that you're molesting them. And they just happened to be wandering around out there topless, right?
Yeah, it and just so, happened to be, and it just happened to be you know, push them, grab their boobies when you're trying to get them off of you.
But so, they're
look,
foul.
Look back, remember,
foul.
FIFA running around, burning, looting. We sat there and watched them burn a car dealership, all these cars in flame. I don't remember anybody being around.
I remember watching, and you had one of those fools from the I believe it was CNN or no and on there saying how this was a peaceful demonstration, and in the background they had the buildings on fire.
Yeah,
and
a huge fire. I mean, it was a major. You know, I think it was the car lot that was burning when they called it a mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah, and so you. Again, these people in the media, they're contracted liars. They literally are under contract to lie, okay? And so it's an interesting thing because, you know, sometimes, you know, he tells you in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, that when a fool speaks, he lets everybody know he's a fool. And so here's this fool standing in front of buildings on fire saying that they got a peaceful demonstration going on.
Yeah.
But that's what you would want
and
in the media.
Amazing. You know, could you picture yourself as an editor running that piece of film on the news? He's going mostly peaceful protest, and behind him you see this huge fire and people throwing things, breaking things, smashing, you know, burning, looting. And to sit there and go, mostly peaceful. I bet you wouldn't have wanted your wife and kids walking through the middle of that peaceful protest. And the editor who sat there and said, oh, we can put this out. Like you said, they are hired, paid liars. That's the only way that stuff got out that way.
Yep. All righty, well, anyhow, praise the good Lord for Mark Hauk. Thank you, you know. We need more people like Mark Hauk who are godly people who believe in God's word, the Bible, have honor and integrity. And just imagine, let me ask you this. If you put them down next to each other, is the kind of people that Mark Hauk is, the kind of man he is, and compare him with those 25 lesser men that came to his house to try to intimidate his children. So I can tell you, I'd like to have those 25 men. I'd like to get them in a room where they couldn't get away and preach them what the Word of God says. I mean, you know, just say, here, you better understand something here. You know, you know what you're doing. God says not to touch his anointed. And remember what he said. He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You, little boys, you have gone out there and you've chosen death. And so you're asking God to curse you. And let me tell you, you don't impress God with all your toys, okay? You put up on all your combat gear and you go in there to try to intimidate children. Well, if you think you've got God's intention, you did. I know you certainly impressed me, right, Joe?
Yeah. Very impressive, your masculinity. You got the guys there on September when the Twin Towers came down and the firemen and the policemen running into a burning, crumbling building trying to save people. Now, there's somebody that impressed me.
Yep, you and me both.
Real men.
All right, very good. You have an article about the children. And oh, you know what happened today? Pastor Hal, if you're listening out there, Pastor Hal, call in here today if you're listening and give your drugstore account. But while Pastor Hal's, if he's listening to this, while he's trying to call in,
yeah,
call if he's
in,
awake.
I'd definitely like to hear about that, yeah.
Yeah, if well, he's awake.
Breaking news, and it's interesting. This is the kind of story you won't find on Fox News. I'm throwing this out because you just don't see them. Official statistics compiled by the European Union, this comes from WorldNet Daily, WND.com, shows a massive increase in the excess deaths among children since the European Union approved the experimental COVID-19 kill shot, well, they call it Vax. The alarming increase reported by the UK-based investigative site, The Exposé, found they altered the data even, but even with altered data, there was a 755% increase in the excess deaths among children aged 0 to 14 in 2022. Yeah. They claimed it was a little lower, but after looking through the data, they omitted a few things. And this year, children 5 and older across Europe were offered the COVID shots, despite all the studies and data showing they have virtually no zero risk of death or severe illness from COVID. It's not as bad for them as the common flu. In other words, it's better if your children got the flu than COVID. I mean, it's worse if your children got the flu than if they got COVID. And so here they took a look at the deaths, all the reasons children die, and there's been an increase 755%, and all the children that died had taken the vax, the poison poke.
Well, Joe, you have to understand something, that that's the will of the World Economic Forum. And so remember the idea that we have to cut down. It's right in their arc of the globalists there. They have their little arc, and they've got this in there that we have to cut the population of the planet down to 500 million, a half a billion. And so besides that, so what if the children are dying? Isn't the important thing is that Pfizer makes a lot of money and does a lot of advertising on NBC, ABC, and CBS?
Well, apparently it's all about the love of money, right?
Yeah, seems like money being the root of all evil, huh?
Evil, yeah. I think it came from a pretty reliable source as far as I remember. Oh, yes, that's right. It came from God himself.
Yeah.
And if you start not caring about the children. I remember what scripture also says about if you harm the little ones that love him, that they're his, they belong to him, the little ones, the ones who have not gotten old enough to decide whether to accept him or reject him. He made it quite clear it'd be better that a millstone, which is a really big, heavy thing.
4,000 pounds, Joe. A millstone weighed 4,000 pounds.
4,000 pounds, that's big. Yep, 2 tons, actually. And that you'd be dragged with that hung around your neck through the depths of the sea. It sounds like Jesus is kind of trying to tell people something. That sounds kind of scary to me, having a 4,000-pound rock tied around my neck and tossed into a 2-mile-deep ocean. I don't think he's saying he likes doing anything to his children, right?
You hear it. He said also you'd better off if you had never been born. Now listen.
Born, yeah.
Speaking of money, a perfect storm forming under the Biden recession. Oh, by the way, now, I haven't heard it today, but last week, and this includes on Fox News, too, they were talking about Biden's numbers in the polls improving. In other words, they're telling you, okay, with with the amount of money, the average family of four, the average, is spending $7,400 more this year than they did when Biden got into office. $7,400 more for the very same things, food, and than they did under Trump.
So he's now, getting more popular the more he hurts people, right?
NBC, ABC, CBS, well, they're trying to convince us that we like paying higher prices, that if we don't even have heating oil in the wintertime, well, it's because we like that, okay? And so, when out in California, when you're running where you have blackouts, power failures over and over, which we may have across some of the rest of the country, the people in California like those power outages, and they like what Newsom is doing so much that they're all moving to Texas or Florida.
Florida or other places, yeah. Some even moved around where I am, but.
Well, we've had a number move here to the point where you can't even find a house for sale here anymore.
Yeah, so. Scary. You know, but speaking of that, we've talked many times. Scripture, talks about people, liars. There's a special place in hell for liars. But the Bible also talks about there's this sin of omission, about not telling something you're supposed to. And I'm looking at Fox News right now, and there's all kinds of weird things, reality star daughter dead, and something about Kim Kardashian's breakup, and just all kinds of goofy stuff. But Sunday was a world event that happened in Italy. This Giorgia Meloni came from kind of nowhere, this mother, and she started...
Is she a female version of Donald Trump?
She's actually far more moderate, she's a conservative, but kind of a moderate to conservative, but she does stand up and tell the truth.
I heard her speaking. She didn't sound moderate to me. Okay.
Well, to speak, what I mean, some of her other things, I read her platform. If I were just to look at her platform, it's kind of moderate to conservative, but when she spoke, she was very articulate and powerful about God, family, country. Now, that part, you're right. Anyway, she won the election and her party, and she will be installed.
Big time. They won big time.
Mm-hmm.
Both houses in Italy.
Yeah. What's interesting, I looked up a bunch of the articles, and they're all in different newspapers, but none of your mainstream media is talking about this at all.
They're calling her a fascist. They're calling her, I was listening to PMS, NBC, and all, they're calling her a fascist out there. And then, like what Hillary did, she came out and she talked about Donald Trump being here in Ohio last week. And she said she was remembering as a child watching Hitler, the films of Hitler standing out there shaking his hands, putting his hands in and speaking just exciting the crowd. And she compared Donald Trump to Hitler.
Now,
if there's ever been a wicked, evil woman, I mean, I bet Jezebel of the Bible might not have anything to do with Hillary, okay? that would be a good contest between the two of them, wouldn't it?
Oh, it sure would. But what I found fascinating, these articles kept calling her far right, far right, far right. Now, I'm going to tell some truth. What the left has been doing for many, 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 many years. Now, picture in your mind a vertical and horizontal line meeting in the middle of a piece of paper. One line up and down, one line side to side, and where they meet. Where they meet is where they tell us the founding fathers were. And we conservatives, Christian conservatives, keep going far, far, far to the right, and the liberals are going to the left, farther away from the founding fathers, and it kind of makes us two triangles that are fairly similar. This is what they try and say in words. What's really true is you go to that same vertical and perpendicular line. That's where the founding fathers were, but people like Pastor Ernie and I haven't gone anywhere. We believe in the Constitution. We believe in the same kind of things that the Founding Fathers taught, proposed their ideas, their philosophy, their belief. It's the left that's gone and further till they're so far out there to the left, you can hardly see them. But they tell this lie, like both sides have gone someplace, but Christian conservatives, we haven't gone anywhere from the Founding Fathers. We're holding that worldview. We're holding those ideals of the Constitution, of the Declaration. We're holding fast to those. So we haven't moved. It's kind of like when people say, well, you know, God's left you. No, if you were far apart from God, God didn't go anywhere. You did. You left him. He didn't leave you. He never does. We've never left the values, principles, and ideas of the founders. It's the other side that has gone way wacky off the, you know, end of the earth. And I thought that people need to understand that. We haven't gone anywhere. Pastor, she's not far right. She's just for God, family, country.
Well, you know,
normal belief system.
What does, you know, first of all, the Bible refers to the right with as righteous and those on the left, okay, as the enemies of God, as the enemies of God, okay, the goats. Well, now, also, the Lord said that in the end times that those on the righteous would become more righteous and the wicked would become more wicked.
More wicked, which is what we're seeing right now, isn't it?
Well, let me ask you this. Just think to yourself, what kind of people would have the killing of innocent little children as their referendum or their number one issue in the election? What kind of people would have killing of little innocent little children? Well, the Bible says that these kind of people, it refers to them as abominable, that they're abominable people. They're abominations, right?
Right. And so, God said, what is the one of the things he hates the most? And that's the shedding of innocent blood. And there can be no more innocent blood than that of an unborn child.
Let's go back to, what if the preachers in this country were preaching what we're preaching tonight about that, about what God's word, the Bible says, that if you vote for one of these people, if you vote for a Joe Biden or a Chuck Schumer or a Kamala Harris, if you do that, the Bible says you should be accursed. You should be accursed for doing that. Let the nations curse.
As guilty as they are, if you are promoting them, encouraging them, helping them, you are guilty. It's like being a lookout for a team of robbers in a bank. You didn't rob the bank, but you were the lookout. You're still part of the problem. Well, we've heard that before. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And again, I go back to that idea that if you don't say anything, you are encouraging, you're letting the other side think they have your approval. If you don't tell them, no, stop what you're doing, if you're silenced, they take that as approval. And the politicians have done that forever, haven't they?
Proverbs 17, verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just. First of all, to vote for Biden, you're justifying. What does Biden say about us? What does Biden say about us? He calls us fascists, right?
Yeah.
Even they are abominations to the Lord. So God is calling, listen, God has called the entire Democratic Party an abomination. What if all of the pastors that are actually pastors, I mean the real ones, were preaching this, that God has called the entire Democratic Party an abomination?
Yeah, like they should. If they went around quoting Proverbs 17:15, and then just back to chapter 16, there in verse 25 of Proverbs 16, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Half the things that the left puts out there are always result in death, don't they? They love death.
Yeah, there is. And the Bible says all of those that hate God love death. All of those that hate God love death. Now, all right, here. Perfect storm forming under Biden recession puts millions of jobs at risk. And this is an article here by Todd Houston. And so coming off the tail of the disastrous government response to the coronavirus, which it mandates, lockdowns, job loss, economists fear that millions more will lose their jobs by next year as small businesses begin to fail in every great and even great numbers. Now, but, you know, before I go any further, I wanted to just say this too. Remember the lockdowns. Remember, they locked down churches. They wanted to lock down pro-life centers. They wanted to lock down the good, the clean, and the decent.
But they wanted to leave open the abortion clinics, the liquor stores, you know.
And the pot stores where they sell them pots.
Yeah, the pot stores. And even the massage parlors. They didn't close down massage parlors.
Because these people that have done that are abominable. The Bible, God himself has called them abominations. That Governor Whitmer there in Michigan, God has called that unclean woman, first of all, unclean. Unclean, Governor Whitmer in Michigan. You're an unclean woman, but also an abomination. Okay, and so here he goes on to say this. A June report from Cabbage, the small business lender owned by American Express, found that 20% of all small businesses don't think that they can survive the Biden downturn. The looming small business crash coincides with a housing crisis with soaring mortgage rates, which have not been seen since the housing crash of 2008. This is extremely bad news because small businesses are the engines of the U.S. economy. By the way, Biden just recently made a statement somewhere to, that things are not as bad as what you think you see. Okay.
Yeah, Dave, who are you going to believe, Biden or your own lying eyes, right?
That was Slick Willie's favorite saying. Now, there are about 31.7 million small businesses in the country, according to federal data. Those businesses are responsible for employing nearly half of America's working population, about 58.9 million workers, according to data reported by the Pie Insurance Company. We have way, way too many federal workers, way, 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 way too many federal.
Especially we've got about 87,000 IRS agents too many. They're going to be hired. So right there, we could cut back.
The U.S. Small Business Administration reports that 99.9% of all firms in the U.S. are small businesses that employ less than 50 people. So clearly, small businesses are extremely important to the health of the U.S. economy. And of course, Joe, I want to stop right there, but we happen to know that the big box stores, the woke corporations that have gone a-whoring, they're working. And we saw this. This in Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon, the great Babylon, the economic, the political, and the religious system combined, the big box stores like Walmart and Coca-Cola and all of them, they want to put the small businesses out of business. They're working together. They didn't have to do what the government demanded that the small business do. We're coming up to a break.
They've got the money, the attorneys, the accountants to do all this stuff.
Yeah. And you can bet this is why he's hired 87,000 IRS agents. They're going after churches and small businesses. They're working in hand with the big box businesses, with the New World Order. We'll be back after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.